Okay.
I feel energized.
Woohoo! It is a Monday morning, our first Monday morning mindset call of the year. And happy new year, 2017. Coach Steph Yay. Is going to lead us in a very, very exciting Monday mindset call today. So we're glad you have joined us. I will be managing the chat and the volume and muting people who are echoing in the background. If you think
there you
me,
go.
You can mute yourself.
I was just going to say, let's mute some echoing in the background.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I don't know what Mike's doing, but let's go.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much, Coach Donna. This is Coach Steph, and I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite non-subjects today, and you'll understand what I mean by that as we get into the call. Hopefully you were able to hear Gloria Estefan singing Get On Your Feet. I actually had the YouTube up, so I got to watch her dancing, and oh my gosh, does that woman have energy? It's just such amazing energy and drive and commitment. I don't know if you know her story, but she's really amazing. And when she sings Get On Your Feet, she means it. Get on your feet, get up, do something, make a contribution in the world. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We ended last year by exploring and basking in the energy of visionary reality. We got to talk about all that wonderful, high, creative, exciting energy of visionary reality. Then we started out this year by releasing the old on last Thursday's call. If you missed it, oh my gosh, it was an amazing call. Please listen to the recording and do the exercise. We claimed our new word for the year. And we all worked the end of last year creating some pretty amazing goals. So all of this feels great. Getting creative, getting excited, releasing, doing those rituals, claiming our new word, creating these amazing goals. And then it's January. And we need to actually start accomplishing those goals. And then we hit the border. So if you're in front of a computer, if you're driving, please don't look at your screen. But if you're in front of your computer, you'll see that I've posted a picture of the playing field, right? So, you know, visionary reality, all the great ideas, dreams, visions, and life's intentions, all that wonderful high energy. And then there's physical reality, where we actually create our goals and bring them into being. And then, of course, you see that little red squiggle in the middle of the border. And that is trouble at the border. So for many of us, a big demonstration, let's call it that, a really big demonstration of trouble at the border is what we call procrastinating. So if you can chime in on chat or take yourself off mute if it's quiet where you are and just, you know, jump in. Is procrastinating a problem for you? Anybody struggle with procrastinating?
Me?
Did I hear a me and a yes? Yes, so if you can...
There's a chat that says, it will be when I get around to it. And somebody else just... Beverly, Bev, welcome, Bev. Said yes.
Yes. Yes. So I want to hear from you. What are some of your favorite techniques... for procrastinating? What are some of your favorite go-to procrastination favorites? What do you do? And let me reframe this because we're going to start seeing why this is a non-subject. What are your favorite techniques for putting off doing what you said you would do? Let me hear from you.
Are you laughing?
Playing games on Facebook. All right, great. I'll do it tomorrow, right? So anything I can do tomorrow, I'll put off.
I work best under stress.
Oh, I love that one. Anybody else? I just need a deadline. I just need to pull an all-nighter, and then I'll get it done. Anybody else?
That's one of my big ones. My best work comes when I have very short time to do it in.
Yes. Oh, I continue. Oh, Christine, I love this. I continue to research so it's perfect. Oh my gosh, you must be my my husband's sister from another mother, because that's his favorite procrastinate. I just have to do one more piece of research, honey. Just one more piece of research, right? So excellent, you guys. What we want to look at today is that we want to look, see, and tell the truth about what we call procrastinating, okay? We have made procrastinating so sexy. Like, books have been written about how not to procrastinate and all the deep psychological reasons that we procrastinate. But if we really break it down, if we look, see, and tell the truth, procrastinating is simply, but not easily, simply not doing what we said we would do, right? So to reframe that, it's not keeping our promises, right? And you know, we talk a lot about keeping our promises at Your Coaching Matters because we recognize how important it is to understand what it means to make and keep a promise and to make and not keep a promise. And that is essentially, guys, what procrastinating is, right? It's a little more uncomfortable to look at it that way, right? It's a lot sexier to think it's some a deep and serious psychological condition. But really what it is we said we would do something and now we're not doing it, right? And it is a classic experience at the border. The challenge with it is, and remember, when we make a promise, we create that state of tension, like pretend I'm stretching the rubber band, right? So the longer we put off doing what we said we would do, the longer we procrastinate, the more tension we create and the more stress we create in our lives, all right? Which ultimately drains our energy. Now, remember, this is kind of a vicious cycle. We need energy to cross the border, right? The longer we hang out there not doing what we said we would do, the more of our energy gets drained and the harder it gets to cross the border. Anyone relate to that? Mm-hmm. The more you have on your to-do list that isn't getting done, the less you feel like doing anything on your to-do list. Yeah. Anybody like raise a hand or chime in? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so what we're acknowledging, guys, in that experience is the energy that gets drained when we don't do what we said we would do, regardless of what we call it. Okay. So obviously, in preparing for talking about procrastinating, if you consult the Great Oracle and you type into Google procrastination, you are going to have tens of, if not hundreds of thousands of responses and articles and books and treaties and essays and advice on how not to procrastinate. And that's exactly what happened when I did that. What I migrated to in my research, obviously, was information that aligned with our coaching model. Okay, so not information that was going to keep us at the border. So again, to use another metaphor, I didn't want to share information that was going to keep us stuck in being more interested in procrastinating than in doing what we said we would do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? I want whatever information we share about procrastinating not to get us more fascinated with what procrastinating is or isn't, but how to shift out of that energy. And I actually found a great article by a woman named Margie Worrell, and she says, "Life rewards action. Nothing great is accomplished without it." Right? Life rewards action. So again, look at your screen and you see physical reality above the border in the playing field. The very first attribute of physical reality is it takes energy. In other words, nothing gets accomplished in physical reality without taking an action. Procrastination is the lack of action. right? We're just spinning our wheels and playing with monkey and dancing about and making all sorts of great excuses and, in fact, justifying why we're not doing what we said we would do, but we're not taking any action. Thinking about procrastinating is not taking an action, right? Reading a book about procrastinating, think about this, you guys, it's actually helping us prolong doing what we said we would do, right? Because we're more interested in why we're not doing what we said we would do than in actually doing it, all right? When we take actions with clarity, focus, ease, and grace, we are rewarded, to use Margie's word, with a sense of accomplishment and with being in alignment with our standards of integrity and our life's intentions. And we know that being in alignment with our standards of integrity and our life's intentions is the definition of coherence. And what do we experience when we're coherent? That would be satisfaction, fulfillment, meaning, and harmony. So in other words, when we do what we said we would do with clarity, focus, ease, and grace, right? And what is that? That is the definition of success, right? Then we are going to experience satisfaction, fulfillment, meaning, and harmony. So wise people from, you know, folks way smarter than me for the last 1,000 years have pointed out the problem with procrastinating. Philosopher William James said, "Nothing is so fatiguing as the eternal hanging on of an unfulfilled goal." Wow, can anybody else relate to that? Nothing, he's pretty firm here, is so fatiguing as the eternal hanging on of an unfulfilled goal.
I think that the word fatiguing, Coach Steph, goes back to that draining conversation,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That it's exhausting to have even a small, sweet step that we haven't fulfilled.
Exactly. It takes up, I actually had a client say to me, it takes up so much bandwidth,
yeah,
when I say I'm going to do something and then I don't do it. And the more I put it off, the more bandwidth it takes off, you know, which means that there's always something running in the background, guys, that's distracting us and just sucking the energy right out of us. Because even though we're pretending that it's not back there, our brain is paying attention to it. David Allen said, stress isn't caused by having too much to do, but by not finishing what we've started. All right. So in your notes for today, you're actually going to get the link to the entire article by Margie Worrell. It's an excellent article, and I encourage you to take just a few minutes. It's a really quick read, and read it. But what I wanted to share with you on the call today, so that we have it on the recording, and then you'll also, this is also going to be in your notes for today, are what she calls 7 strategies to end procrastination and start into action. And the reason I'm sharing these, even though she's referring to it as procrastinating, is because as I go through these 7 actions, you're going to see that they really are very consistent with our coaching model. Okay, and so I'm going to do a little reframing as I go through them, and I actually have the reframes included in your notes so that they'll be there for your reference. So number 1, and oh, Coach Donna, you are so going to love this. Write down your goal and give yourself a deadline. A goal without a deadline can be put off indefinitely. All right? So everyone, I know you automatically recognize this as a SMART goal. Create SMART goals. So if you do have some monkey mind around, oh, I need a deadline, well, guess what? Here you go. Here's your deadline. Okay? Now, the work for you, I need a deadline, folks, is to not wait until the day before the deadline in order to create the goal, all right? That's what creates the stress for you.
Can I give a something to do on this?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're using your calendar, if you're really working from your calendar and there's something that needs to be done, put it on your calendar and then do what we tell you to do, which is either do it, move it, or delete it. And if you delete it, that's saying I'm not going to do this thing, right?
Right.
I'm going to let it go. And so for things that I want to work on and I know that they're going to take a longer period of time or some focused effort, I just make it a repeating event, however often. It could be daily, it could be weekdays, it could be weekends only, it could be, you know, your calendar programs let you do this, it could be monthly. But to put it into your calendar so that you do come across it, right?
Yes.
And it also keeps it kind of out of your, if it's not urgent to be taken care of today, it keeps you it out of your head when you're working your calendar to have it on the calendar for a future date.
Yes, and part of the power of putting things on the calendar, and that's a great point, Donna, is if I don't write it on my calendar, then my brain is trying to remember it, right? But as soon as I put it on my calendar, this is why I make my list for the day the night before, because I will literally wake up in the middle of the night, you know, thinking, oh, I forgot, you know, that I need to do such and such. But if I just take a few minutes before I go to bed at night, and I very consciously and mindfully think, okay, now what is it that I need to accomplish tomorrow? And I write it down, I sleep so much better because my brain can relax, right? So same thing, write it down, write your goal down, write your steps down, write your deadline down, put them in your calendar and make a list. And this leads right into the second action. Break your goal into small pieces. Now, doesn't this sound like take small, sweet steps? Right? She says, the bigger your goal or the change you want to make, the more quickly it can send you into overwhelm. And we would call overwhelm. What is overwhelm? Monkey mind, right? So if your goal feels daunting, break it into manageable, bite-sized steps. Remember, you don't have to know every step of the way, just the next few steps immediately ahead. Your next steps will become obvious as you move along. So small, sweet steps. Right? Remember, monkey wants us to leap tall buildings in a single bound, which is scary and yes, overwhelming. And then we say, oh, I just can't possibly do that. Right? But when we break it down into small, sweet steps, it's like, remember the metaphor I've used in the past, it's like putting on your moccasins and tiptoeing through the forest. Right? Remember that forest in The Wizard of Oz with the sign that says, I turn back if I were you? If we jump on that motorcycle and rev it up and loudly try to leap across that forest, monkey's going to go crazy. But if we put on our moccasins and we tiptoe, take small, sweet steps through the forest into the completion of our goal, monkey stays quieter and our border experience is much happier. So, number three, visualize the future that you want. Imagine the emotions you will feel. Picture yourself in a favorite place celebrating what you've accomplished. Imagine those you love most celebrating your success. This totally ties into what we did at the end of last year, tapping into that energy of visionary reality and getting very clear about your life's intentions. Nothing will help you keep going across that border, taking those small, sweet steps, than remembering why this goal was so important to you in the first place. All right, so keep those life's intentions right up on by your computer monitor, right up there with your goal. You know, when you create a goal, make a note, remind yourself, what were the fives on my life's intentions inventory that made this goal so important to me? All right, so tap into that energy of visionary reality. That's not a once and done thing. You don't just do that when you're creating your goal. When you hit that border and monkey starts swinging and you think, oh, I'm just going to put this off. I just don't want to do this. Take a minute, take a deep breath, and remember the life's intention that you base that goal on. So visualize the future you want. Number four, harness the fear. Great book out there, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Fear is a powerful emotion. It can either propel us or it can completely mire us down in excuses. She says, by focusing on what you don't want, you can harness it in your favor. So write down how you feel a year from now if you do nothing, right? Or if we continue to be insane, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. She says, be brave and really honest with yourself about the cost of continued inaction. After all, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. From the Department of Redundancy Department. So we can clearly see that this is really about getting on your card, demonstrating your standards of integrity, and getting on your feet for those of you who were on the call a minute early, I was playing Get On Your Feet by Gloria Estefan, and we were bopping, man. We were energized.
You guys right? who weren't here, you missed us all dancing.
We were all dancing. I will turn it on again for the last minute of the call. And if you go into the Your Coaching Matters members only Facebook page, I actually put the link into that post. So you don't even have to look for it. Just go to that post, click on the YouTube, and just spend 3.5 minutes basking in the energy of Gloria Estefan. So get on your card and get on your feet. Number 5. Oh, this is my favorite. Build accountability. Enlist a support team or an accountability partner. Or as I suggested in Stop Playing Safe, this is the book she wrote, recruit your own personal board of advisors to help keep you focused and on track. Set up a time to check in regularly and let them know ways in which they can help. For instance, to remind you of past accomplishments and why you set about making these changes in the first place. So this is, of course, you guys, about getting support. You know, form a partnership with a small sweet step partner. Your coaches have small sweet step partners. We practice what we preach, right? Every morning we have our small sweet step partners. You already have coaches. Use your coaches, right? Get on all of these Monday calls. Get on all of the Thursday calls. Jump on to the coaches in. Avail yourself of every possible support system that we offer. Reach out to people in your office. You know, it's so wonderful when offices create the energy of support instead of competition, right? Recognizing that we're all stronger when we're all working together. I just read an interesting article, or I skimmed an interesting article. You know, I don't know if you've noticed in the news that Sears is having a lot of problems right now. And there was a really great article written about why their leadership failed their company. And the gist of it was that they encouraged competition not between Sears and another competitor, right? Like, say, not between Sears and Penny's or Sears and whatever. But they encouraged competition between their own associates. And what they have found, and what, of course, any of us who study organizational behavior have found, is that was totally counterproductive to the organization. That the organizations that encourage cooperation between associates and that, you know, we're all in this together energy are so much more successful and profitable than the organizations that encourage competition between the individuals. Very interesting article. If I can go back on and find it, I'll post it on the site for us. So support one another. This is what she calls your personal board of advisors. We would call a mastermind group, right? Many of you are in mastermind groups. So important to help us do what we said we would do. Number 6, reward progress. Set up a reward system to ensure that you celebrate progress and small successes as you go along. Whether it's a fun activity with friends or a treat for yourself, make it something that acknowledges your progress and your effort. So this is, of course, really the definition of ease. Remember, how do we get across the border with ease? We take small, sweet steps, we get support, and then we stop and we celebrate each step. Right. This is the antithesis of driven behavior. And that's a really important note, you guys. Not procrastinating, doing what we said we would do, is not about becoming driven and miserable. Okay? Success is doing what you said you would do consistently with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. So it's like Donna said, get clear about what really truly has to be done now. Also get clear about what can fall later in the process, all right? It's like I have a friend who's recognized that she really had this constant chatter in the back of her mind about how urgent everything was. And what she finally realized was when everything became urgent, then nothing was urgent, right? It's like when everything's breaking news, then nothing's breaking news. So Monkey wants us in that constant state of urgency because there's no ease. There's no joy, there's no fulfillment, there's no satisfaction. So doing what we said we would do at the border is not about becoming driven and perfectionistic and trying to get a week's worth of actions done in one day. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting very clear about what you say you're going to do before you say it. Right? Get clear. That's the clarity. Get clear about your what your priorities are. And then finally, number seven, act bravely daily, starting today. Building momentum is crucial as you start out. So commit to stepping out of your comfort zone at least once per day. She's so funny. She says, beginning today, before your fear-laden excuses disguised as sheer laziness kicks in again. It can be something really small. After all, it doesn't matter how fast you are going, so long as you are stepping forward in a direction that inspires you. So take that first step, then another. After all, life rewards action. So we thank Monkey for sharing, and we remember what's really important to us, and we do what we say we're going to do consistently with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. So in the last couple minutes of the call, I'd love to hear, because in the beginning of the call, we talked about what are some of your favorite techniques for not doing what you said you would do. So what are some of your favorite techniques to get you moving? How do you avoid avoidance? And I'll give you an example, and it was how we started the call. Music gets me moving, right? My favorite Christmas gift this year from my dad and my stepmom was Alexa, right? The Amazon, the Echo thing. It was a perfect gift because it was never something that we would have thought to buy for ourselves, right? But we love it. We put it in the kitchen. We have played more music in our home since Christmas Eve than we probably have in the last 6 months. Because we walk by and we'll say, Alexa, and of course, you know, it's me. So I say, play the Bee Gees or play Earth, Wind, and Fire or play Carol King. You know, I'm a child of the 80s, right? So it's been so wonderful, and it gets me moving. When I'm kind of getting in that slump, I say, Alexa. And yesterday it was, play Get on Your Feet, right? I just gave a client an exercise. He also has an Echo, and I said every time he starts going down the regret rabbit hole, he now has to ask Alexa to play Let It Go from Frozen. All right, I think I mentioned that last Thursday. So music can get us on our feet. What works for you? How do you avoid avoiding? You can chat it in or you can talk it in, and then we'll put it in the notes.
Okay, I'm out of here.
I don't know if they can come on.
How do you avoid avoiding?
I get up earlier, work out, so I have the energy to go do it.
Good. So you, for me, it's music. Mike, you work out. Right?
Sometimes get those to music.
To music. You get those endorphins going. Getting endorphins going is a great way to move across the border. Christine, I turned my phone off and set the timer. Excellent. So you're giving yourself a little mini deadline, right? Excellent. Turn your phone off and set the timer. Bev, get into the office. Woohoo! You go, Bev. Get up and get into the office. Right? Notice how all of these require action. Turning on music, turning off the phone, setting the timer, working out, getting into the office. Who else? How do you avoid avoiding? Anything you share is helpful for everyone on the call. Anybody else?
Sometimes I'll create a reward. So like, if I do this, I'll walk over to Brewster's and get an ice cream cone.
There you go. So you and actually, you know, this is interesting. Christine just typed in, sometimes I break it into smaller steps. And though the getting the reward and breaking it into smaller steps actually works together. Break it into smaller steps and reward yourself after every step. Remember? Small, sweet steps, get support, celebrate. Rewarding ourselves, the celebrating is so important. It makes our brain really happy, right? Don't just go to the next thing on your list, right? stop for a minute, breathe, celebrate before you move on to your list. Even if you just get one thing done a day, it's better than getting no things done a day. Yes, Bev, using the do not disturb on the phone. Excellent. All right. Well, I'm showing, I have a list on my wall, and when I can cross things off, I feel so happy. Saying out loud, I do it now. Yes, speak it. Write it down and speak it. Right? Our words are so powerful, whether they're written or they're out loud. And Christine, I'm with you. I love marking things off my list. One of the things I had to start doing was making my list shorter, because I would get, you know, a tremendous amount done, but I my list would have been super unrealistic. And so I think, oh, but look at all this that I didn't get done. So I was like, oh, thank you, monkey. How about if I make my list reasonable? And then I can feel really good when I can cross everything off. I don't know about you, Christine, but sometimes I'll write something down that I've already done just so I can cross it off.
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels so good. All right. How about if we end the call by me cranking up, get on your feet. You guys have a great day. Thanks so much for being on the call. Let's make
great
2017
call.
The best year ever.
Bye,
have a
guys.
Great day, guys.